Today's scripture reading is taken from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of God.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we discern your word for us, empower us by your Spirit, Lord, to live out your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the ways to check whether you are in good health is to observe your tongue. In fact, this is what doctors do, one of the things that doctors do when you visit him. The color and the appearance of your tongue can tell whether you are in good health. You are likely to have a bacterial infection if there are more white patches than pink. If there is a painful lump or a non-healing ulcer, then it suggests something serious. It's every young parent nightmare if we observe ulcers around the tongue of our children, isn't it? It could be the contagious hand, foot, and mouth disease. Now, the tongue is not just an indicator of our physical health. James tells us that the tongue also reflects spiritual maturity and our health. The tongue that James refers here is not so much the muscle or the organ hidden underneath our mouth. The tongue refers to our speech, our communication, formulated by our inner thoughts, and then informs our actions and behavior. The members of James' congregation seems to have issue controlling their tongue. And James has to revisit this topic over and over again. So in chapter 1, he tells everyone to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It looks like the congregation had problems listening to one another and communicating. They were hot-headed because he had to admonish them in verse 20, chapter 1, for anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. And if we look one chapter later, James has to rebuke the congregation for speaking evil against one another. James is serious. He tells us in chapter 1, verse 26, that if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart, and this person's religion is worthless. Point is, if we do not keep a tight rein on what's coming out of our mouth, rumor mongering, gossiping, bad mouthing others, then James says that your faith, my faith, is meaningless, worthless. Brothers and sisters, if the Lord were to observe our tongue today, listen to our conversations, daily conversations, what will he hear? Will the Lord observe a healthy tongue filled with gracious words that build people? Or is our tongue made up of unwholesome conversations that does not edify? The reason the Holy Spirit inspired this text to be written down for us tells that God is concerned over our daily speeches and conversation. And we will hear that the tongue, though small, has a powerful impact on situations and the people that we talk to. The reverse is true also. It has destructive power when uncontrolled. And God will judge the callous words. Let's look at verse 1. In verse 1, James says that not many of you should become teachers, for we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Now, why does James single out the teachers of the word? Now, you see, during James' time, and which is quite close to Jesus' time, being a religious teacher comes with much prestige and status. A Jewish teacher will be called a rabbi or a scribe. And it's natural that they are the spiritual leader of the community, since they know God's law. And only a privileged few can attain that status. For the very simple reason, only a few people can read at that time. Paper was not invented. Very few people received education. So the privileged few had some knowledge of God's word. And the teacher's word carries much weight and influence because you are supposedly God's messenger. People trust you. They trust your word and whatever that you're saying. Unfortunately, there are teachers who use their knowledge and words to manipulate people. And if we look at the Gospels, Jesus often had very strong words against the teachers of the law, the Pharisees and the scribes. So for example, in one passage in Mark chapter 12, he warns the teachers of the law who look good on the outside, but inside, deeply corrupted. And he says that they devour widows' house. They walk around with long robes and greeting. Whoa, long robes, huh? I need to be careful. And then they, you know, supposedly say long prayers, but they devour widows' house. Now, what does it mean? Now, apparently, in ancient times, women do not have education. They have very little power in the courts. So it's very common that the husband will appoint, in his will, a Jewish legal expert, a scribe or a Pharisee, to be the executor of his estate. Now, it is not hard for a corrupt lawyer or a religious leader to find legal ways to trick this widow in out of her house and her property, and this precisely, it seems, what the religious leaders are doing with their words. Can these things happen today? Can religious leaders scam their congregation members? Last week, there was a Straits Times article about a U.S. pastor. He pocketed $1.3 million. And he says God told him to do it. He sold worthless cryptocurrency to his church members who believed in him. And then he pocketed the money and used some of the money to remodel his house. And he insisted he was doing that because God told him to do it. Brothers and sisters, James is not discouraging us to become a teacher of the word. But he wants to impress upon us the seriousness of this calling. It is not so much the skill, the capability, or the giftedness of teaching God's word that matters. James is concerned about character, the spiritual maturity, the moral qualifications of a teacher, of a leader, of a congregation. And so there's an application for all of us who are in the teaching ministry, pastors, elders, deacons, cell group leaders, BBGB officers. We hold positions of trust and influence. Our words matter. It can influence those we guide. And when we undertake to guide and be involved in this ministry of teaching, we need to be careful to reflect the biblical character and the moral behavior. Because if we don't, then as James says, we will be judged with greater strictness. God will hold us accountable if we ever manipulate with our words. As we move down to verses 2 onwards, James shows us a series of illustrations how words have a powerful impact on a situation or people. Now, first, he tells us in verse 2 why it is important to control our tongue. And that is because right speech is a sign of maturity. Now, James tells us that we all stumble in many ways. If anyone don't stumble, he is a perfect man. Now, he's being honest, and he admits we all stumble in our communication, don't we? You know, at a certain point, we let our words escape of our mouth before we consider them carefully, and that may cause hurt to someone else. At times, we don't communicate clearly, and that causes a misunderstanding. Or other times, we let our emotions get the better of us, and we say things that we do not mean. But it can be too late. The hurt has been done. But what verse 2 highlights is that if one can control what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. The word bridle is associated with a rider of a horse who is able to control the wild beasts, put it under his control. And the perfect man here refers to a spiritually mature person. So, the point is, our conversations reveal our spiritual maturity. Now, I notice that there is a difference between TV shows today and maybe just a few years back. You know, the F word is used so liberally, and it's like a regular part of a conversation in any shows. And the media seem to co-opt us to think that this word and other four-letter words should is like part of our standard speech, daily conversations. And I'm made to feel like a dinosaur if I don't approve of this language. And at times, our conversations revolves around racist jokes, gossip about a person's personality, and belittling someone. Brothers and sisters, such conversations do not show spiritual maturity. And the book of Proverbs cautions us, a fool's lips walks into a fight, his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruins. Brothers and sisters, our speech, our choice of words reflect who we are as a child of God and reflects our maturity. So these words that the world uses or you hear in your daily conversations, the media that you are exposed to, does not come from God. And we have to evaluate carefully, should these words be part of our daily conversations? And James will talk about the inconsistency of our language later on. Today, our conversations are not just verbal. We also communicate through the email, the social media, like Instagram, WhatsApp. And so we have to evaluate, how do we fare in our conversations? Not just the verbal, but through the online means. Are they edifying? Do they show maturity of character? Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 exhorts us, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to all you ought to answer each person. Let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt. It's like your speech is so tasty, seasoned with salt, that people wants to hear you. People wants to have conversations with you. And that is what the Bible tells us. Right speech is a sign of Christian maturity. And as we move on to verses 3 and 4, it tells us that when our speech, our tongue, is used in a positive manner, it can be a powerful tool to do great things. And James gives us two common examples of his time to help us understand that. He uses the illustration of a horse. He says this in verse 3, that if we put bits in the mouth of the horse, they obey us. Now, what is this bit? I found an illustration, a drawing there. It's this metal piece that you put in the horse's mouth. I don't know if it's under the tongue or above his tongue. And the idea is to communicate and to control the horse. The rider can pull his rein, and then it will direct the horse which direction to move. Now, the bit is small, it is hidden, you can't see it, but it's a powerful tool to move a big animal. And likewise, our tongue is small, it is hidden, but it has a powerful impact when it's used for good purposes. The other illustration that James used is he asks us to consider the ship. They're so large, they can be swayed by a violent storm. But there's a small mechanism in a boat or a ship that can direct and control the the ship to which direction it wants to go, and that is called the rudder. So it's at the back of the ship, you know, as the pilot steers it, it can stabilize the ship, it can direct the direction that the ship wants to go. The bit and the rudder are small hidden objects, but they are powerful tools that can maneuver objects that are proportionately larger than what they are. And so what James is reiterating is the tongue is the same. It is small, but it can be a powerful tool to use for big purposes. It can diffuse a tense situation. It can comfort and encourage someone. It can steer people to find faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier this week, I was communicating with one of our EP pastors regarding conducting an ordination service. And so it was a little bit frustrating as we were ding-dong over the WhatsApp conversation. And I decided, okay, I'll just call you and to find out what's going on. So as we were discussing about the service, I sensed the heaviness in his voice. And then I probed a little bit further and I heard about the pressure and the challenges that he's facing and his congregation are facing. So we talked for a while, and after the call, he dropped me a message to say, you know, thank you for checking in on me. Please continue to pray for me. This simple conversation, I thank God I controlled my tongue, I was not frustrated, and to try to get to know him a little bit better, was a small and powerful tool to just get to know what is he going through. A study was done by a psychologist by the name of Dr. Henry Gordet. And he studied the energy levels in children. And he used an instrument called the ergograph. And he made some children do some activities, tire them off. And then he found that when children are tired, and then given a word of praise or encouragement or commendation, the energy level of that child increases. But then, when the child is criticized or discouraged, the graph shows that the physical energy of the child dips. Now, I believe that this applies to all of us. A word of encouragement will make us go a further mile. But when we are criticized, our energy just goes down. We are discouraged. Proverbs has a lot to say about our speech, and James probably was informed by this ancient literature, Book of Wisdom, and he tells us this. The Book of Proverbs shows how the tongue, when controlled and used well, can diffuse an angry situation. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. Gracious words are like honeycomb. They taste good. And sweetness is sweetness to the soul and health to the body. The small tongue has great potential. The illustration of a bit and a rudder highlights that God intends for our words to be used wisely. And our conversations can be a very important tool to strengthen the discouraged, to build bridges, to bring about reconciliation. Simple, small words can make a big impact. It can heal, it can strengthen our marriages, it can also bring family relationship closer. So let's do an experiment this coming week, okay? Let's be intentional to edify and to encourage someone this coming week, whoever the Lord brings to mind or you interact. And this person could be your spouse, a parent, a friend, or a colleague at the workplace. And then observe the powerful effect of your conversation and the tongue. The tongue can be a powerful influence. It can inspire beyond its size. The word of our mouth can positively impact someone's life. But the reverse is also true. And James tells us in verse 5, the tongue, though small, can have disastrous effect like a forest fire. Now, in Singapore, we sometimes feel the widespread effect of a fire, don't we? A forest fire, far away, can affect our health and our environment. When the PSI level goes up, our body is also affected. And so likewise, the point that James is making, the words from our mouth can have an extensive effect when it goes out of control. A story was told about a man who was gossiping and spreading rumors in the community. And so a wise man told him, you know, you place a feather at each doorstep of the town. And then he asked him, okay, now you go and collect this feather. And then the man said, it's impossible. It's all blown over. The wind has blown all over the town. And the wise man responded, so it is with your words. Once it comes out of your mouth, it's blown all over. You cannot take it back. A callous statement cannot be taken back. At times, the damage is made. We probably heard of this idiom. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is it true? It's probably easier to heal from the wounds made by sticks and stone than the psychological damage caused by words. Unkind words have a tremendous impact on people around us. When we joke about someone's race, his personality, his weight, the school he graduated from, it can cause great hurt. Often the victim just flow along, smile with you, but deep down there is a scar. And James warns us about the consequence of callous speech. You notice there are stages. It harms a small group. The tongue is like a fire. Among our members, a small group, and then it stains the whole body and then sets on fire by hell. And it does stain the whole body because in chapter 4, James had to address about the quarrels and fight and the slander that is happening within the congregation. And it shows that when church members fail to control the tongue, it brings about a great hurt to the wider community. And then in the final stage, set on fire, what it means here is God will hold us accountable for our words. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every callous words they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Brothers and sisters, God is serious about the words, especially the destructive words that come out of our mouth. He will hold us accountable if we are callous with our tongue. And for believers, we need to be consistent. how we worship on a Sunday and what we speak from a Monday to Friday. And that's something James highlights in verses 9 and 10. He says, we bless God with our tongue, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Now James reminds us of a very important theological truth. He tells us that people are made in the likeness of God. Everyone, your boss, your wife, your husband, the foreign workers, the worst of our enemies, they are made in the image of God. And so when you curse them or you scold them, who are you? Ultimately, you are discrediting their creator. So it is inconsistent to use our mouth to praise God and to curse the people that he has made. And in verses 10 to 12, James hammers in the point. He questions us, can spring pour forth fresh and salt water? Can fig tree, my brothers, bear olive tree? Can grapevine produce figs? Some things just don't happen. It's illogical, right? No matter how you try. Fresh water spring cannot produce salt water. It's like you open your PUB tap, one day you get water, the next day you get Coca-Cola. It doesn't happen, right? Can fig tree bear olives? It's like, can the rambutan tree bear durian? It's illogical, right? So we see a consistency in nature. A tree bears fruits of its kind. And that's the point James is making. How can your tongue be praising God on a Sunday and then Monday to Friday or Saturday you are engaged in these unwholesome conversations, cursing people or swearing? Is the tongue less holier on the weekdays? You know, sometimes we see the cleaner in the toilet. They use the tong to pick up the litters in the toilet bowl, right? Will you use the same tongs to pick up yong tau hu ingredient? It's inconceivable, right? So it's the same. James is saying, why is it that you and I can accept that this tongue who worships God on a Sunday sing 10,000 reasons to praise God, and then on the weekdays used to scold people, to swear, or unwholesome conversations? Being a child of God and having a nasty tongue is incongruent. It shows inconsistency. And that is what basically verses 11 and 12 is saying. So brothers and sisters, our passage today tells us that God is serious and he wants us to watch our conversations, our speech. It has tremendous power. It's a gift that God has given us, and it can make a powerful impact on people around us when it is used wisely, controlled. It reflects spiritual maturity, the character and the child of God. And I believe the Lord wants us to evaluate our conversations today. Evaluate your conversation with your spouse, your parents, your friends. Which relationship does the Lord want you to work on in your conversations? And let us honor God by controlling our tongue and use it to build and edify people around us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you give us the gift of speech, enable us to talk. And many times, we take for granted tongue that you have given us, Lord. And as we hear your word today, we ask for your forgiveness, Lord, for the unkind words that we have spoken. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be present daily in our lives, to remind us, to restore us if we have fallen, and also to help us watch our conversations. Let it be seasoned with salt, like a honeycomb, that build lives around us, to reconcile damages, and to steer people to you, Lord. May the words of our mouth edify the relationships around us and strengthen it. So use us, Lord, to be your mouthpieces, glorifying you in our speech daily. For this we ask in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our closing song is about surrendering and submitting to God so that we are constantly reminded to honor Him in our Christian service. Would you just rise? The one who made the heavens made my heart and soul. Before I drew a breath, I was loved and known. I am His creation, the Maker's masterpiece, and all that He designed will be done in me. Our body.
My body is a temple of the living God. I worship in His house that His blood has bought. As I bear His image, oh may I not profane His holiness I hold in this earthly frame.
I belong to the Lord.
I belong to the Lord. I am not my own, I belong to the Lord. I am not my own, I will honor Him, for this I know. I belong to the Lord, I am not my own. And if He has redeemed me, I am not my own. The measure of my worth is His love alone. He declares my standing, and He declares my state. So I will know myself by the I belong to the Lord. I am on my own. I belong to the Lord. I am not my own. I will honor Him, for this I know. I belong to the Lord. I am not my own.
Be seated.